Hallelujah. Praise God. He's a mighty warrior, amen. Tonight we want to go to prayer. We want to pray for Pastor Carter, Pastor Teresa, Pastor Lamar Vess and his wife Victoria that are in Ireland ministering at the Summer Fire Conference. Pastor Carter requested prayer that we would pray for him and for the team there and for the Lord to pour out his spirit, amen, and to push back the forces of darkness arrayed against the church there in that part of the world, that no weapon formed against them would begin to prosper, that the glory of the Lord would come down in that conference and meet with his people, amen, and begin to touch and encourage the ministers there, that they would not lose heart, that they would not grow weary in well-doing. Amen. Can we do that tonight? Can we believe God for that tonight and begin to lift our voices and pray for our pastor? I'm going to ask Elder David O'Neill if he would come. And I want you to take a moment and begin to lift your voice. Begin to pray for Pastor Carter, Pastor Teresa. Pray that the glory of God will come down on that meeting in Ireland, on that conference, that the Lord will bless and strengthen Pastor Nick Cassidy and his staff there and all the ministry leaders there, all the pastors. Come on, you pray. This is a prayer meeting. Nobody sits the bench. Everybody's first string. Everybody's in the game tonight. Lift up your voice tonight to the Lord. Begin to cry out to God for his church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we lift our voices. Thank you. Every voice counts tonight, Lord. Every voice counts. God, we thank you that we have the privilege of prayer, that we can come boldly to your throne of grace to obtain mercy and help in our time of need. We thank you that you are a mighty warrior. You are victorious. God, we thank you, and because you're victorious and we are part of your body, we are victorious. We thank you that Christ has already won. He has already triumphed against the forces and the powers of hell. We thank you for the victory, Lord, that was won on the cross of Calvary, Lord, where the powers of hell were defeated, Lord, once and for all, oh God. Lord, that the enemy was triumphed over. We thank you, oh God, that we stand, we fight against. Lord, we resist tonight an enemy that's already defeated. We know the devil is a liar and that God is true. And so, Father, we pray for Pastor Carter. We pray for Pastor Teresa, Pastor Lamar Vest. God, Victoria, Lord, his wife, we ask, oh God, that your glory would come into that conference, that your glory would come into those meetings. God, that you would send them a visitation from on high, oh God. Lord, a word from heaven, Lord, that would come into their bosoms, oh God. A word that would be like fire shut up in their bones, that they would not be able to stay quiet. We ask that once again, oh God, that you would disarm the enemies, Lord, the enemies of Christ, the enemies that have arrayed themselves against your house. God, that you would fight against them, and God, that you would cause your church, Lord, in that part of the world to arise. Lord, we ask that you would arise, oh God. Let your enemies be scattered. Let the powers of darkness bow before you. God, in the name of Jesus, we proclaim your victory, Lord, over that conference. Anoint the worship. Anoint, Lord, the preaching. Anoint everything that's said and done. Lord, we pray when the altar calls are given, God, that you would absolutely, Lord, refresh and revolutionize the ministry there. God, that ministers would come on their faces, oh God, and they would begin to seek you like never before, that they would not be discouraged, God, that they would not be triumphed over, but God, that your church would march on, that your church would move forward, God, that your people would advance, that your kingdom would advance. God, tonight we're believing you for the victory. We're believing you for the victory, oh God, in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Mighty warrior, mighty king, mighty God, we call upon your name tonight because you are worthy, because we know you've never lost the battle. Oh God, we yield these conferences up to you. Father, let your glory be known. Rend the heavens and come down, oh God, over those meetings. Jesus, we need you now. We need you now. You're a mighty man of war. Come, Lord Jesus, on behalf of your children, on behalf of your church, on behalf of the ministry, on behalf of these congregations. Lord, come, Lord Jesus, and conquer every enemy of their soul. Let your presence be known like never before in those meetings. In your presence, every mountain has to melt like wax. Every crooked way is made straight. God, come down. Rend the heavens. Bread of heaven. Feed your people. God, feed your people, O Lord. Feed the ministry. God, we're asking for Pastor Carter. Protect his mind, protect his heart against every fiery dart from hell. God, let there be clarity of thought. Give him bread from heaven, seed to the sower, bread to the eater. God, we pray for a word, a fresh word from heaven. God, minister to your people. Minister, dear God. We're asking, dear God, and we're sure this is his heart as well. Let your heart be known. Let your heart be heard. Let your voice be heard in those meetings, dear God. Let the testimony be not what a great preacher, not what great a meeting, not what a great conference, but what a great God you are. What a great, awesome God you are. Let that be the testimony of every night, every meeting, dear God. Glorify your name. God, we pray you heal marriages. We pray you restore people to their rightful place in ministry. God, we pray that they crush the works of darkness under their walk of faith. God, we pray that authority once again would be restored to the ministry. God, we pray, dear Lord, you would bring children back to their fathers. You would bring fathers back to their children. God, we pray you would heal the broken heart. Father, we pray that chains would be broken. Prison doors would fly off their hinges. God, we pray you do the miraculous. Do the miraculous. Baptize in the Holy Ghost. Come fresh and anew, dear God, like a mighty rushing wind over your people. And we thank you for this. Thank you, dear God, for what you're going to do. We praise you. We praise you. We exalt your name for what you're doing and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on, give them a shout of praise tonight. I believe God is answering our prayers, folks. I believe God is pouring out his spirit. I believe God is going to give our pastors a word from heaven, hallelujah, to encourage his people in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's give God a praise tonight. Let's worship him.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to your holy name, oh God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We serve an awesome God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We bless your name. We bless you because you are awesome. We bless you because you are good. Lord, we cry out to you because there is no other God. We cry out to you because there is no other hope. There is no other deliverer. There is no other redeemer. There is no other glory. There is no other majesty. There is no other authority. There is no other dominion. There is no other God but our God. No other king like our king. We come to you today because we're expecting you to do what you always do, to be that great and holy Savior. We come to you because you draw us to yourself. You invite us to trust you. You invite us to believe you. You invite us to take confidence in you. You invite us to remind you that your word tells us to hope in you. You are that great and mighty Savior. Your word tells us that we can believe you for healing. And so we come to you believing you for great and mighty things. We come to you believing you for healing, even from the horrible concept of cancer. We see it sometimes happening in the lives of ones that we love. And in the name of Jesus Christ, right now we speak against death. We speak against the power of death. We speak against all of the fears involved with death. We say, Lazarus, come forth, come forth, come forth, come forth. We refuse to believe that death is the end. We refuse to believe that death has the final say. We pray against cancer tonight. Hallelujah. 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 We pray along with Pastor Ben for his wife. We pray you lay your hand upon her right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we pray for a great and a mighty miracle. We're believing you, oh God, because you are that kind of God. You are that kind of friend, as our sister sings. You are that great and mighty Savior, and we're believing you to say to death and destruction, this far and no farther. Hallelujah. Praying to you for Maxie, our brother who heads the Raven Truck Ministry. We understand that he's been sent to the doctor recently because of complications from cancer. But in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. We stretch out our hands as God's vessels. And we speak against death. We say, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? We pray against the power of death tonight. We pray against the power of Satan tonight. We pray against the onslaught of the enemy tonight. And we hold up a standard in the name of Jesus. We hold up a standard tonight. The gates of hell will not prevail. We believe in you for great and mighty things. For every illness represented in this house. We pray the healing power of Jesus. It's not enough for us to read about it. We want to see it. Hallelujah. 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 We believe you tonight, oh God, for great and mighty things. Because you are a great and mighty God. We pray a circle of protection around this community. And we say to you, Satan, this far and no farther. Here will your proud waves be stayed. We believe in God for great and mighty things. We're trusting God to do those things that no one else can do, so that all glory, all majesty, all authority, all dominion, all adoration, all praise, all worship, all awe goes to God. So that we can say when it's all said and done, only God could have done this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. And now, Jesus, we thank you. We bless you. We praise you in your glorious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give thanks to God. We bless you. We thank you. We love you. We worship you. You are a great God and greatly to be praised. The Lord Jesus bless you so very much. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. We are going to heaven. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful? God wants you to live in His house forever. He can't get enough of you. He can't. He can't get enough of you. Praise God. And by the blood of His Son, He made a way that we would be able to abide with Him for eternity. And if you think it's high energy worship down here, oh my goodness, it's nothing compared to what it's going to be up there. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Thank God for that hope, amen? That the buck doesn't stop here, so to speak. That this is not it. The 9-to-5 mundane ritual that we have to live out Monday through Friday, some of us unfortunately more than that. The cranky people in the next cubicle over, the noisy neighbors, the malicious boss that's out to get you. That's not our destiny. It's not. It's not. And we may have to deal with these things on this side of eternity, but they cannot defeat us. They can't.
Every battle you and I will ever face in this life, Jesus already beat it. He already won it. He already nailed it to his cross. Praise God. It's good to be with you tonight. Go ahead and open up to the book of Ezekiel chapter 37 with me, please. Ezekiel 37. Some of you already know what story is in this chapter. The story of the dry bones in the valley. I have a word from the Lord tonight, and I want to talk to you about hope. The Lord has been teaching me a great deal lately. I've been teaching my wife as well, both of us, just what hope actually is. And he's been teaching us how to have it, how to live in it, how to walk in it. And it's been an incredible journey. It's been very hard. There have been times that have been very painful, but I can tell you that I wouldn't trade it for anything because I see Jesus in it. And I see him more clearly now as a result of what I've had to face than I did before when I hadn't really gone through anything. The trials have actually given me a clearer vision of who he is. And I tell you, I promise you, on the authority of the Word of God, not on my own experience, but what God says about himself, hang in there. You will see Jesus. You will have a vision of God that the enemy cannot take away, that the world cannot take away. And we're going to look at a vision of God that a man named Ezekiel had, and we're going to discuss how the Holy Spirit would have us apply it to our own lives. But let me pray first. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come upon me now in your power. I can't do this without you. Lord, you have a message in your heart that you want to speak to your people. Lord, I can honestly say that I love my brothers and sisters before me, O God. Lord, those seated behind me in the choir loft. Lord, those seated to my left who sit in positions of authority in this church. God, I love them, O Lord, and it's my honor, Lord, as your vessel to fight for them tonight. And God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would put everyone in this house on their own two feet, Lord, that they would wield the sword for themselves, putting their faith in what you have said about them, what you've said about their future, what you have promised them through the cross. Lord, I thank you that you are the man of war, and Lord, you stand up for those who cannot stand for themselves. Lord, I thank you that you are the voice for the voiceless. You are the fight for those who have come to a place of utter defeat. Lord, we look to you tonight to be our hope. We love you, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The title of the message tonight is The God Who Raises the Dead. The God Who Raises the Dead. Verse 1 of chapter 37 says this, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord." Praise God. It's a good word, isn't it? You know, whenever we hear this passage talked about or preached on, it's usually, at least from what I have usually heard it presented as, it's usually given in an evangelistic context. Go out and find those dead dry bones. It doesn't matter what you see in your community, in your neighborhood. God raises the dead to life. And that's very true. That's the gospel. The gospel is all about a living God coming to dead people, raising them into new life, filling them with his spirit, making them new creations. That's the gospel. But Ezekiel is not seeing unbelievers here. He's actually seeing God's covenant people. God tells him in verse 11, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Now that changes things, doesn't it? Because typically you don't think of Christians as being dead. You think of unbelievers as being dead, needing to be raised into new life by the power of God through the hearing of the gospel and the preaching of the cross. Why in the world would God be portraying his covenant people, the people that he redeemed, that he purchased for himself and calls his own? Why in the world would he be seeing them as dead? And not only dead, but a pile of dry bones. Why in the world would he be seeing them that way? And he clarifies it. In verse 11, look one more time with me at that verse, please. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. That's the issue that's being dealt with in this passage. God is giving Ezekiel a glimpse of the spiritual condition of his countrymen. He was an Israelite. And what was happening with the nation at that time is they were in exile in Babylon. The Babylonian army had come in and laid waste to their land, captured their cities. They destroyed the temple of the Lord. And all of it happened because they were worshiping idols rather than the true and living God. And as a result of this continual rebellion, God eventually came to the place where he had to let their sin have its way with them. And they ended up being carried away captive into a foreign land. That would be like another nation coming into our borders and taking you out of your home, taking you overseas into a land where you don't know the language, you don't know the culture, and you have to now live with them according to their rules, according to the way they do things, and all the while you must cooperate them with the knowledge that they already destroyed your homeland and your family. They'll destroy you too if you make a problem. That was the mindset that Israel was living with. They were there in captivity, and Ezekiel was with them. He wasn't at home in his homeland still. He wasn't spared the rage of the Babylonian army. He too was carried away into exile. Even though he was a righteous man, he was a priest and a prophet. He obeyed God in all things, but even he was falling victim to this plight that had come upon his countrymen. And God comes to him and shows him a valley filled with dry bones. And he doesn't say, Ezekiel, these are a bunch of unbelievers that don't know me. You've got to go preach to them and get them saved. He says, no, Ezekiel, these are my covenant people. And their hope is dead and dry right now because they're so overwhelmed by their circumstance. And rather than telling Ezekiel, go and tell my people you made this bed and now you're going to lay in it, you go and tell them, I'm going to raise you from the dead. I'm going to give you hope again. I'm going to give you a future again. When the King James says we are cut off for our parts at the end of verse 11, they're basically saying we are completely disjointed as a nation. We've been so scattered that our identity as a people is going to be completely lost in the cultures that we're being forced to adapt to. They were basically saying, we're losing our existence as a nation. Israel is dead. That's what they were saying. God's covenant people are no more. That's the mentality that they were falling into because their circumstance was that overwhelming. Their hope had given way to despair, and they had no expectation for the future any longer. As far as they were concerned, there was no future. And rather than God coming and saying, you should have listened the first time I rebuked you. You made this bed, now you lay in it. He came and he said, no, I'm going to give you a new hope. I'm going to put my spirit in you, and I'm going to cause you to live, and I'm going to make you an army, and you will go back to the land again. because God is merciful and He's compassionate. The Bible says He will not always chide. He doesn't keep His anger forever. If Thou, O Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who should stand? If God kept a record of our wrongs, if the blood of Jesus hadn't blotted out everything that you have already done and everything you're going to do from now until the day you go to eternity, it would be hopeless. But He's a merciful God, and He's compassionate. He's a God of a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance. Even if the reason why, maybe there's some of you here tonight and you're feeling despair, you're feeling condemnation, and it's because you made the mess. You're sitting in your own mess and you feel too condemned to even cry out for help. God is here tonight and He's saying, it's okay, I'm going to help you. Even if you are in too much despair to ask for it, I'm going to give it to you because you're mine. You're mine. You belong to me, and I cannot be unfaithful, because you have to understand something. The children of Israel, God told them in Deuteronomy chapter 29, if you look there, we're not going to do it tonight for the sake of time. In Deuteronomy 29, He warned them even then. When they were just becoming a nation, He warned them. He said, if you disobey my commandments, you will be carried away into captivity. But if while you are there, you turn again, I will hear and I will restore you. So this vision that Ezekiel was having, this was not some new idea that God had. This was what He always intended. He always intended to be faithful. He always intended to restore His children. This wasn't some new concept. I'm just going to be nice to them today. He said, no, you know what? They've made a mess. They've sinned. And I had to chasten them because of it. But they're still mine. And I'm not leaving them in that hole. I'm not leaving them in that grave. I'm going to open the grave and I'm going to bring them out and I'm going to make them new creatures. I'm going to put my spirit in them and I'm going to cause them to live. Ezekiel was looking at a nation chosen by God. Chosen by God. They were God's people and they had come to a place of complete hopelessness because everything had been ripped away from them in a relatively quick amount of time. And if you think about it, it was actually a few years that the whole process of their captivity was taking place, because the Babylonian king, you didn't just take a city back then. You didn't just launch a rocket and that's the end of it. You know, we have very scary technology today with what we can do, and there's many fears out there about what could happen in the days to come. But back then, if you wanted to take a city, it could take weeks, it could take years. One of the things they would have to do was starve them out. You would surround the city, cut off their bread supply, cut off their water supply, and eventually the sanitation issues would bring disease, would bring plague. They would be dying of hunger. And that was how you took a city. And this is what the children of Israel were living in. That was how they were spending their lives before they even got carried away into exile. No wonder they felt despair. No wonder they felt hopeless. As far as they were concerned, there was no future. But God came and said, I haven't forgotten you. You do have a future. And maybe you're here tonight and you feel like Israel. You feel like your hope is in a grave. Whether you dug it yourself because you made a mess, or the enemy dug it for you and you've just been overwhelmed by attack after attack after attack. God is in the grave opening business. He has not stopped. He still opens tombs today, and He raises the dead, and He causes them to come forth. If you feel like your hope is dead and dry, you feel like a pile of dry bones, one of God's chosen people, you, a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, feeling like you can't look forward to tomorrow, God says there is a tomorrow for you. There is a future for you. There is a hope for you. I'm going to resurrect your hope again. I'm going to raise your hope from the dead. Now, let me tell you something about hope. When you read about hope in the Bible, we have this idea today. We kind of abuse the term. We think of hope as, you get a picture of hope as this kind of forced optimism or wishful thinking, you know, I hope I get a puppy for Christmas or something like that, just wringing your hands together or something like that, you know, if you want a puppy for Christmas, pray for you. God will answer those prayers. There was already one testimony about a girl getting her dog back when she prayed for it. Praise God. You know, the Lord cares about those little things in our lives. He's not so lofty. He is that compassionate, you know, but hope is not this thing where we're just wringing our hands together and forcing ourselves to be optimistic. When you read about hope in the Bible, hope is an expectation. It is a solid expectation for the future, and it's based on the fact that you believe God is who He says He is. That's what hope is. You expect God to be faithful. When you say that you are hoping in God, you're basically saying He's going to be who He says He is, and He's going to do everything He said He would do. And because of that, I can get up tomorrow morning. I can live through another week of work. I can look forward to what's coming around the bend because God is faithful. Whether it's good situation, bad situation, God is still God and He's still going to be everything He promised He would be. That's what hope is. That's what hope is. It's not something you've got to work up and be real positive all the time. I think, just being honest, sometimes people like that are exhausting. When it's fake, you know what I mean? Like when they're just being fake, it's like, oh my gosh, nobody feels like that all the time. You know, getting a little too honest here. Anyway, no, praise God. No, because you know what? It's not something that you have to work up, go to a pep rally. It's a matter of, do you believe that God is who He says He is? If the answer is yes, you're hoping. You are hoping. You're already doing it. And the Holy Spirit is going to sustain that hope. He's going to be the one to assure and persuade your heart. God can raise your hope from the dead. The Holy Spirit's ministry to you is to sustain your hope. His job is to keep you hoping in what Jesus Christ accomplished. Even if you have fallen into a hole, the devil dug some grave for you, and you've stumbled into it for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit can rip that tomb open, cause you to come out of it, and you will be hoping in God again. There is no such thing as a hopeless Christian. There is no such thing. There is no such creature in all of creation. A Christian always has hope. Why? Because it's based on the character of an unchanging God. That's why we are never without hope. My hope is not dependent upon my circumstances. You know, I praise God. Thank you for praying against cancer tonight. Just this morning, this very morning, I got a phone call. I found out a close relative of mine has melanoma. And they can't give a prognosis yet. They need to go see an oncologist. But it's very, very deep. And it was basically the worst possible biopsy report that could have been given to her. And it was very hard. And I sat down in my office and I looked at my computer. I'm going over these notes and I'm thinking, you know what, Lord? This is bad and this is hard, but I'm going to believe You for a miracle because I'm looking right here in Your Word. We're never without hope. We're never without hope. We always have hope. The reason why God can open your grave, the reason why you can be brought out of that pit, is because the Son of God conquered the grave. Jesus Christ went into a tomb so you and I would never have to live in one. That's what. And because of His victory, because He conquered death, because He conquered sin, because He conquered hell, you and I are never without hope. You can't get yourself out of that grave you're in. If you're in a grave tonight, if your hope feels dead and dry, you can't deliver yourself. The Israelites couldn't do anything about their situation. God had to be faithful. That was their only hope. And even when they didn't think there was hope, hope came and revived them again. And if you're here tonight, maybe you walked in thinking, I don't even know why I'm bothering going to church tonight. I don't know why I'm bothering. What is the point? God is saying something to you. You're not without hope. And He will resurrect that hope from the grave. And you will have a fresh faith in your heart to believe Him that He is everything He says He is and that He never fails. Amen? Amen. Praise God. That's all I have to say. I just want to give you one final thought. And it's something that really struck me as I was in prayer for tonight the other day. And you think about the Gadarene demoniac, the man who, when you read in the Gospels, it says that he had a legion of demons living inside of him. Now, you know, a legion, well, maybe the demon was being figurative. Maybe it represents an actual number. All I know is there were enough demons in this man to drive 2,000 pigs down a hillside into a lake. That's a lot of demons. This man was full of demons. And the Bible says that he was living in the tombs. He was living in a graveyard. And when Jesus showed up on the shore, the tomb was open. That man came running out. And just a few moments at the feet of the Son of God, he was clothed in his right mind again. Now listen, that man was unsaved. He was not a believer. He wasn't not in the same position as the people who you would read about in Ezekiel 37. Now if God could do that, if God could do that for a hopeless sinner, someone who is under the direct control and possession of the enemy, if God can open a tomb for a man that bound, that enslaved to the powers of darkness, what makes you think that God can't open your grave when you are his child and you belong to him? Let's not doubt him tonight, amen? Please stand with me. And do you do normal altar calls? Okay. A prayer meeting night, so I didn't know if things were a little different. I just want to invite you, if you're here tonight and your hope feels dead and dry, and you need the Lord to put his spirit in you afresh, then I want you to come down here to the front, and we're going to pray with you. And we're going to believe God to bring your hope out of that grave, to set you on your feet again, and just put the enemy to flight. Amen. Doesn't matter what hole you find yourself in. It doesn't matter what grave Satan dug for you. Jesus opens graves. He opens tombs. He raises the dead. He'll raise your hope from the dead. Because that's the whole issue. You're not dead. You're a new creature. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Your hope might feel a little shot because of circumstance. But the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and he's going to give you something fresh tonight. Now, you just begin to ask for it. As we begin to worship, you begin to ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, breathe upon me. Fill me with your spirit again, O Lord. Give me fresh hope. Give me fresh faith. I believe that you are who you say you are. Just talk to the Lord now for a few moments. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How great are you, Lord? How great are you, Lord God Almighty? You are great, O God, and greatly to be praised. We honor you, Lord Jesus Christ. You are greater, O God. You're greater than our enemy. You're greater than our circumstance. You're greater than the pit that we might be in tonight. You're greater, O God. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, O God. Greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. Greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Worthy are you, Lamb of God. We defy the lies of the enemy tonight. We defy the despair. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we defy every grave that the enemy has dug for our expectation. Our God is who he says he is, and he never fails. He never fails. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We defy every stronghold of the enemy in Jesus' name. We defy every chain that binds us, every tomb that the enemy has tried to trap our hope in and give us despair instead. We defy it, and we defy it because of the cross of Jesus Christ. It's not any strength that we possess. It's because Jesus Christ conquered every grave. He broke every chain. He defeated every enemy.
He shattered every stronghold. Hallelujah. Satan, we tell you tonight that we know there is no such thing as a defeated Christian. Because in order for there to be a defeated Christian, there would have to be a defeated Christ. And he cannot be defeated. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus, that at the cross 2,000 years ago, you defeated the enemy. The Bible says you made a public spectacle of him and all of his power. You put him on display for your children to mock at, so your children could look and know that they really are victorious in you. You put the enemy's power on display so that we could be confident in the victory that you've given us by your blood. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for your ministry to us. Thank you that you've made us your temple, that you have cleansed us, you've purified us, and what's more, you assure us of the inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would help us believe tonight. Holy Ghost, breathe on our hope. Raise it from the dead again. Lord, I pray that we would believe for our neighborhoods. Lord, I pray that we would believe for our bosses and our co-workers. Lord, I pray that we would believe for our children. We would believe for our parents. We would believe for our relatives, oh God. We would believe for our friends. We would believe for this generation, oh Lord God Almighty. Lord, give us hope, oh God. Lord, we expect salvation to come where we're asking for it. We expect salvation to come to those for whom we are praying. We expect healing to come for the sicknesses that we're lifting up to you in prayer. We expect it, oh God, because you are who you say you are, and you never fail. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters that have come to this altar tonight, oh God. Lord, I pray that you would breathe on their hope. I pray that you would open every grave. Lord, you would cause them to walk out of that place of death that the enemy's trying to trap them in. And Lord, I pray that they would realize they were alive all along. They've been alive since the day they met you, since the day you found them and you first called them out of that tomb of sin that they were trapped in and their unbelief. Lord, they've been alive ever since then. Lord, I thank you, God, that every tomb that Satan tries to put us in is built upon lies. And the moment you shine the light of your word on it, it fades away. So God, we put our hope in you tonight. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. And not just to next Sunday. You're going to make it to glory. We're going to get to the end of this journey. Praise God. And it's going to be an awesome day. Pastor, thank you so much.
If you have a prayer request, take it out right now. Let's lift it up. We're just going to pray right now in closing to the Lord on behalf of the prayer request tonight. If you have one, if someone entrusted you with a prayer request, if you take it out right now, and let's begin to pray for these folks. I believe God to work a miracle in their lives. Amen. Can you do that? Take out your prayer request cards right now. Lift them up. Raise them up real high. And we're going to stand together and believe God. Those that are around, those that have prayer request cards, if you just put a hand, men with men, ladies with ladies, put a hand on each other's shoulder right now. And we're going to go closing in prayer, believing God to work a miracle in those who've entrusted us with their prayer request cards. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and begin to lift your voices to God tonight on behalf of these prayer request cards. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the victory that we have in our souls, oh God, and the faith that you've put in our hearts. Thank you for sending your word and healing us. Tonight, we lift up these prayer requests to you, Lord, and we pray for a miracle in the lives of these that have entrusted us with their requests. God, we know that you are alive. You are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Lord, you get the last word. You get the final say-so in every one of these circumstances and difficulties and trials. Father, we're asking that you would stretch forth your hand to heal, to save, to deliver these that have entrusted us with their requests, those that have need of healing, those that need a financial miracle, those, Lord, that need a touch in their bodies. God, those that need direction, those that need salvation in their homes, Lord, we lift them up to you and pray that you'll glorify your name in the midst of these circumstances, these difficulties, these trials. God, that you'll have your way. Be glorified tonight. Be glorified in the midst. Be glorified among us tonight. Let your name be glorious in each of these circumstances and situations, God. God, that your name would be exalted. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for the privilege again of prayer, the privilege of being able to lift up these knees to you, to stand in the gap, and to believe you to work a miracle in each life. We're believing you to turn these prayer requests into a praise report. God, that you will glorify your name, that you will magnify your name, that you will exalt your name, oh God. Victory. We thank you, oh God, for the victory. Hallelujah. Come on, let's begin to give him a shout of praise tonight in thanksgiving. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the victory. You are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, Lord. We thank you, Lord, as we heard tonight, you get the final say-so. The devil doesn't get the final say-so. You get the final say-so. Hallelujah. God, we thank you for the victory that we have in you. We honor you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Give the Lord thanks once again. Hallelujah. Victory, victory, victory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Tonight as you leave, encourage somebody in the Lord. Shake a few hands tonight. Tell somebody God is good and his mercy endures forever. Amen. The Lord bless you. We'll see you Friday night, Sunday, back here in the house of God. Amen.